Please turn your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, actually we find that we'll be reading through verses 1 through 8 on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. We're going to read that together and then we'll get through this together. It says here, Mark chapter 16, verse 1. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before them into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Let's bow our heads and ask God to bless us as we look at the resurrection of our Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for the blessing, the privilege, dear Father, of being here and sharing with your people. I pray, Lord, that you would allow me to be your messenger this morning. Dear Father, I pray that you would open every heart. Lord, help us to receive your word with fear and with trembling, dear Father, for it is your word. And now, Lord, we ask that you would encourage us. We ask that you would bless us. Lord, as we look at this wonderful portion of Scripture, we thank you so much for our Savior who conquered death. And now, Lord, we ask that you would encourage us and bless us. Strengthen us, dear Father, we beseech you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As you know, we've been going through the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we find, really, in Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8 is really in older manuscripts. That's really where it ended. And yet we learn that from 9 through 20, we learn that there are other manuscripts that have this portion of Scripture. And so we'll talk about that next week. But right now, we're just going to be going over chapter 16, verses 1 through 8 in the resurrection of Christ. And one thing about Mark is Mark doesn't spend a whole lot of time elaborating. Mark is very quick. He's always in a hurry. And his point is that Jesus is not only God's divine Son, but he is a servant of men. And you'll find that when you read through Mark, everything happens very quickly and immediately. And you'll find that as Mark just simply shares about the resurrection, it's important for us to see and fill in the details looking at the other Gospels of Matthew and Luke and John. And this morning I want us to see our Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Now I want you to understand, when it comes to the resurrection, we study everything about the resurrection. But there's something missing about the resurrection. What is it? The resurrection itself, we don't have any record of it. In fact, we just simply see that there is an empty tomb. And later on we see that Christ appears to the disciples. But we do not have an eyewitness account of the actual resurrection itself. Why? Because that's between the Lord, God the Son, and God the Father. But we see the results of the resurrection. In fact, let me just tell you something. If Jesus Christ did not resurrect from the dead, you are still in your sin. Do you realize that? That's how important the resurrection is. There are certain doctrines that you and I need to hold on to. They're so vital that we have to make sure that we hold to those and cling to those. Another of those doctrines is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus was not born of a virgin, guess what? We're still in our sin. But Jesus was born of a virgin because he's 100% God, 100% man, and Jesus Christ did conquer the grave and he resurrected from the dead. Praise God that he has. The resurrection is such a vital doctrine and teaching that when you look in the book of Acts, you'll find that the resurrection was the most emphasized doctrine among the disciples. Why? because many people had died on the cross during the time of Jesus. Many people had died, but how many of them resurrected in a glorified body? None. Zero. This is what separates Jesus Christ from any other founder of any type of religion. Jesus Christ conquered the grave and He died for the sins of men. Other conquerors or other teachers, they just have these wise sayings, but they've done nothing for the sin of man. They haven't conquered the grave. They are not God. Jesus is God. This morning I want us to look at chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, and we see here, let me just give the outline very quickly. In verses 1 to 3, we see that the devotion of these ladies, and let me tell you, their devotion is second to none. These women love the Lord. And we're going to look at their devotion. Second of all, we see their discovery. Because of their devotion, the Lord gives them the honor to be the first ones to discover the empty tomb. And then finally, we see that these ladies, they are to go out and they are to proclaim to the disciples. They are to go and to share their faith and go to be faithful ministers and witnesses. And so I gave it all D's. I have the devotion, the discovery, and the, can't think of the third D here. The disciples, I think. You got to understand, I'm going off of the scripture here. My notes, for some reason, they disappear. That's okay. We're going to be all right. We're just going to, the Lord allowed that to happen, and so we're just going to follow the Word of God. So praise the Lord. Brian, you chose a great time. That's all right, brother. We're so thankful that you and Susan are here. So chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Let's look at the first part here. In verses 1 and 3, what stands out more than anything regarding the death, the crucifixion, and all that Jesus went through? Not only did the disciples abandon Him, but we see the mighty devotion of these women. And we saw this even last week when we saw that finally Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they were finally fed up with what the Sanhedrin had done to Jesus, how they railroaded Him, how they crucified Him and sentenced Him to death because of jealousy. They finally came out and they themselves took the body of Jesus and they wrapped it, remember? And they took about almost 100 pounds of this ointment, which was like a powder form. And they put it on our Lord very tenderly, and they wrapped Him, and they put Him in the brand new grave, which belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. Wonderful men of God that finally came out. They no longer were secret disciples, but now they proclaimed it freely, willing to defile themselves on the day of Pentecost, or the day of Passover. And they did not care what their peers thought about them. But we learn here in chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, we see the devotion of these women. And because of their devotion, we see that the Lord honors them. And beloved, I just want you to understand something. There are certain things that you and I are not ever to be satisfied with. You know, the Bible says we should be content, doesn't it? We ought to be content, especially with the things that we have. You know, we can always use more, right? We're always like, well, my bank account's a little low. I can use a little more money, or my house is a little small. Well, the Bible says in those things, we need to just be thankful and content. But there are areas in our life, beloved, that we should never be content with, and that is our devotion to Christ. We constantly need to be growing in our devotion, in our love, in our faith, in our knowledge of the Lord. These are things that we strive for. And these women stand out as examples of tremendous devotion. Let's look at chapter 16, verse 1. It says, now when the Sabbath was passed, that's how they counted days, by the way. They didn't say it was Monday morning or Sunday morning, which would be the day after the Sabbath. They counted the days beginning with the Sabbath because that was the day of their worship. And every day would be the first day after the Sabbath, the second day after the Sabbath. But now we have the days of the week. Well, this is the first day after the Sabbath, which is Sunday. because the Sabbath was Saturday. And it says the Sabbath was passed, and of course, we learn that the way they looked at time is the Sabbath was over at sundown. Isn't that true? According to the Jewish timetable, we'll see, we look at our clocks, and as soon as our clock hits midnight, 1 minute after midnight is considered the next day. That's not how they counted the days. It was at sunset, from sunset to sunset. That's how they counted their days. So when the Sabbath was over or passed, which would be at sunset on Saturday evening, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint Christ. They did it that evening. But they were not able to go out to the grave till the next morning. So they bought the spices. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves is, why would they do this? Jesus had already died. By the way, these women, let me tell you, they were truly broken. Because they were trusting in Christ. They believed that Christ was the coming one. And when they saw that Jesus died on the cross, it didn't make any sense to them. All their hopes and all their dreams came crashing down when Jesus died. They expected him to set up his kingdom. And instead, they saw him crucified and buried. But let me tell you something. They love the Lord. They truly love the Lord. And even though Joseph of Arimathea and even though Nicodemus anointed his body with all the spices, they wanted to do their own anointing. And it says here that they bought these spices. And you can imagine them in early in the morning. They're all gathering their things and who knows what they're carrying. I would suspect, I don't know back then if they had buckets, but I could see them with buckets. You know, they want to come and they want to anoint our Lord Jesus. And they rose up early in the morning when it was still dark in other places. It says here, it says very early in the morning. On the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone of the door? Roll the stone from the door of the tomb for us. They didn't even think ahead. They were just thinking, we want to get out there. And we learned that Mary Magdalene was the first one out there. I want to show you something. Go with me to John John chapter 12. We learned that what these women did was memorialized in the Gospels. Isn't that interesting? These women were doing this because they love the Lord, but this was so important to our Lord that he has these women in the Gospels and records their actions in the Gospels. John chapter 12, we see something very similar. We see a woman named Mary, the sister of Martha. And we learn that the Lord honors this woman. Remember this story? In John chapter 12, it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him supper, and Martha, served by Lazarus, was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, and what did she do? She anointed the feet of Jesus. We learned in other Gospels, she also anointed his head. His head and his feet, and it says, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. But one of his disciples, Judas of Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? And so they began to badger Mary. Remember that? Jesus goes on to say, in verse 7, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me, you do not have always. And we learn even in other passages that Jesus says that from this time on, this will be a memorial for this woman. This will be in all the Gospels that this woman, Mary, anointed the feet and the head of Jesus. That's how the Lord honored her. And so whenever we read through the Gospels, we read about Mary. Whenever we read about the resurrection, we read about these women. Because the Lord wanted to honor them. Let me show you another verse. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Beloved, I want you to understand that what you think that we do secretly for the Lord, what we do from our heart that maybe nobody notices, let me tell you something, God notices. And He sees. And I want you to understand something, that those that love the Lord want to honor the Lord. That's really the evidence of a genuine disciple of Christ. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It says here in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in what? In the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does that mean? That means that the Lord, being omniscient, sees everything that we do. And He watches us, and He sees the things that we do for Him, that those that love Him. And it says here, be steadfast, be faithful, be immovable, always abounding, always growing in the work of God, knowing that your labor for the Lord, it's not in vain. Because God sees and God knows, and He's going to bless you. So whatever you do for God, God is going to bless you. These women, guess what? They didn't see that anybody was watching them. They were doing this from their heart. They weren't looking for any type of recognition. But did they get it? Yes, they did. God honored them. And we read about them every Resurrection Sunday. We read about these women and their devotion to Christ. They loved Him. Beloved, we have to understand that God sees all these things. Even right now, He looks at our heart and He looks at our mind. He knows everything. All you have to do is read Psalm 139, and we learn that the Lord is omniscient. He studies us. He scrutinizes our ways. And these women were honored. They were privileged. Now we learn here, go with me to verses 4 to 6. As they are on their way, verse 3 actually, as they are on their way, and they're carrying all these spices. By this time, by the way, Mary Magdalene went way ahead of them. She went and she saw that the stone was rolled away. According to Luke, the stone was actually taken out of its crevice and slammed down. Because the Bible says that the angel sat on the stone. When Mary saw the tomb was opened and nobody else was around, she assumed that someone had stolen the body of Jesus. Remember that? When she saw the tomb, right away she spinned on her heels and she went to find Peter and John. This was before the other women came. And when they came, they were discussing who's going to move the stone. Remember that? Verse 3. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, what did they see? That the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. What happened? God wanted these women to have access to the empty tomb. So much so that not only did He move the stone away, but He even made the guards go away. They had no idea there were guards there. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. What happened before these women, as they were preparing to go out to the tomb, something happened by the time they left and by the time they got to the tomb. I think you all know what happened. It says here, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. So the scene goes from Mary Magdalene and the women back to the tomb. And when you go back to the tomb, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and He sat on it. When you read R.C. Linsky, he says, The way it's recorded here, it was a violent roll. In other words, he literally lifted the stone and just slammed it down. And then he sat on the stone. Well, who were around? Who saw this? Verse 3. It says, his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards, by the way, there were guards there because we learned that the Sanhedrin went to Pilate on the Sabbath day, which is really interesting. On the Sabbath day, they went to Pilate and they said to Pilate, we need you to set a guard over the tomb because this deceiver has claimed that he will resurrect on the third day. It's amazing that the evil one and the enemies of Christ knew about his prophecy, and yet the disciples were still blinded to it. You know, Satan's very astute, by the way, to the words of God's word, the words of Christ. And it says in verse 4, and the guard shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And what happened? By the time the women got there, the guards were gone. So there is no stone that's going to hinder them, and there are no guards. And by the time the women come in there, they have no idea what happened. The Lord wanted them to have access to the empty tomb. It is amazing. And it says here, look at verse 6. Or verse 5. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man. We learned through the other Gospels, there were two of them. But one was a spokesman. Clothed in a light, in a long white robe, sitting on the right side. And it says they were alarmed. Luke says they fell on their faces. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. And so we learned that the angels were the ones that are bringing the news to the women. We have the empty tomb. We have the witnesses of the women. We have the witness of the angels. And then they tell them another order. Go and tell his disciples. So the women were the first ones to discover the empty tomb. Do you realize that you have the women who testify the empty tomb? You have the angels that testify the empty tomb? You have John, Peter and John who went to the empty tomb, remember, and Mary Magdalene? Who else can testify the empty tomb? Did you know that the very enemies of Christ can testify that there was an empty tomb? Go with me to the book of Matthew again. Matthew 28. This is amazing. We learn in Matthew chapter 28 that after the guards took off, where did they go? You guys know. It says here, after the women had this conversation with the angels, it says here, in verse 11. Now while, this is about the women. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city. And what did they do? They reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. What do you think they reported to the chief priests? Well, let me tell you, we were standing guard. You know, we sealed the tomb and we put the wax and the Roman seal on it. And we were there and we were guarding the tomb. And suddenly out of heaven came these angels. Came this earthquake and these angels. And the angels came and moved the stone away. And the body of Jesus is gone. They gave testimony to the resurrected Christ and the empty tomb. That's what happened. Because by the time the stone was rolled away, Jesus was already gone. The stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. It was for the women to have access into the empty tomb. Christ already was gone. And so these mighty guards fainted like little girls. When they woke up, they came to themselves and then they ran to the chief priests. Can you imagine all this action taking place? They get up, they take out the chief priests, here come the women. They didn't see anything or hear anything. Look at verse 12. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, what did these Sanhedrin do? They say, we were so wrong. Jesus really is the Son of God. Is that what happened? Did they fall on their knees? Did they worship Christ? No. These men were dark. They were lost. Even if you were to show them the truth, they had already chosen to reject Christ. And the Lord just confirmed the hardness there. They were blinded. It says in verse 12, they assembled with the elders, consulted together, and what did they do? Gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. What's that called? They bribed them. Saying, tell them, this is your new report. I know what you told us. I know about the angel coming down and the stone rolled away. We don't want you to tell that story. We want you to tell a different story. And here's the story we're going to tell you, and here's the money. Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And of course, that doesn't make sense because they can be slaughtered by dereliction of duty. And it says in verse 14, and if it comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until to this day. Do you know, even to this day, the Jews still believe that the disciples stole the body away? Isn't that amazing? It is amazing. But even there, in the time of Matthew. And I remember going door knocking and talking to some people. And I talked to this one person. And they said, oh, didn't you hear? They found the body of Jesus. I had some carnal thoughts right at that moment. And I, you know, you begin to get clarity when you look back at the conversation. And you know what the answer to that is? Should I believe you or should I believe the scripture? Should I believe you or should I believe God? Should I believe your witness and your testimony or should I believe the clear revelation of God? I'm going to believe God rather than man. And so it's so important for us to understand this, that the scripture is the testimony of Almighty God. And God cannot lie. And so we learn that even the enemies of Christ had to testify that the tomb was empty. So they had to make up an explanation for it, that the disciples stole his body away. Amazing. It is just amazing. And so we learn that, first of all, the women, they couldn't have carried his body away. And that was just a lie that they propagated. Go back with me to Mark chapter 16. So the Lord honored these women to be the first to discover that the tomb was empty. And even more than that, that Jesus Christ has resurrected from the dead. You can imagine all these emotions they were going through. These women were in mourning. They were broken that our Lord had died. And they come to the tomb and they hear news that's just too good to be true. Do you know that salvation is just news that's almost too good to be true? Isn't that true? That all of your sins can be forgiven? That all the sins you've ever committed can be wiped clean because of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross and His burial and His resurrection, and we are justified through Christ? That's almost too good to be true, isn't it? Most people I talk to, they believe somehow they have to do something good to earn their way to heaven because it just seems too easy. But they don't understand the cost was so great. When these women heard this wonderful news, first of all, they are terrified. They saw these angels in Mark 16 here, and they fell on their faces and they were just terrified. And the angel says, stop being terrified. By the way, if you're to see an angel, you're not going to give the angel a high five. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to be terrified. You know why? Because the glory and the majesty of Almighty God is reflected from that angel. And you might fall on your face. The Bible says that John, on the Lord's day, when he turned around and he saw the Lord, he fell down as a dead man. Why? Overwhelmed. When you see a holy angel, the first thing you remember is your own sinfulness. That's what happened to Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. When he saw the Lord in his perfection and his majesty, he said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." These women were alarmed and they said, "Stop being alarmed." And he says, and he makes it very clear which Jesus, because there are probably a lot of Jesuses around. Chapter 15, verse 6. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth." Very specific. "Who was crucified. He is risen." Actually, it's the passive voice. "He has been raised." Jesus says in John chapter 10, "No one takes my life from me. I take it up again myself." We learn in the book of Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit that indwells him, that raised Jesus from the dead, is the same Holy Spirit that indwells you and I. We learn that God the Father raised him from the dead. You heard this before. So we see the Trinity involved in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so they say to him, "He has been risen." He has been raised. Or he is risen here. He is not here. I love what the book of Luke says. "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" You know, I hope that's what they say at my funeral. I hope in my coffin or whatever, you know, who knows, the Lord might come back. Whatever they have, I don't care, they put me in a paper bag. I'll be with the Lord. I'll be with the Lord. That doesn't matter to me. I don't need a fancy coffin. Don't spend money. Question is, why are you looking for the living among the dead? If you know Christ as Savior and Lord, though you will die, though you die, yet shall you live. Do you understand that? Though you die, yet shall you live. Because for a Christian, it's just a transition from this life to the next. And the body that we leave behind is like the empty house, you know. When my best friend moved away, you know, I didn't go and visit his house. I mean, I didn't. I was like, I'd drive by, I'd feel sad. Say, "Oh yeah, my friend used to live there." But I didn't go and camp out at his house. It's the same thing with our body. This is just the house that we're in. The Word of God says this is our tent. And it's a tent of flesh. But someday we're going to have a new body. A new tent. Not made with hands, but made for glory, not of this earth, but of a heavenly body. And when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, you have to understand it's different than the resurrection of Lazarus, okay? What's the difference between Jesus' resurrection and the resurrection of Lazarus? Lazarus resurrected in his old body. Guess what? Lazarus had the opportunity to die twice. That's a real bummer. I'm like, "Lord, let me just die one time." When Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, he was the first fruit among the dead. He resurrected in a glorified body. And beloved, if the Word of God teaches that every single man, every single woman will be resurrected. Some to eternal life and some to eternal condemnation. Every single person will be resurrected, by the way. That's John chapter 5. Pretty scary thought. I want to be resurrected in a glorified body where I spend eternity with my Lord. Now go back with me to Mark 16. So he tells the women, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who is crucified. He is risen." Now you have to understand the women weren't getting it right away. It wasn't computing for them because they were so terrified. But later on when they began to walk away, in fact the Bible says they fled. They were so terrified. When we learn through the book of Matthew that this fear and this trembling turned into joy. It is amazing. verse 7. We learn that the women are called to be faithful messengers to go and talk to his disciples. Verse 7. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you where? Into Galilee. He mentioned that already in Mark 14. And there you will see him. As he said to you. You know what the women did? They went to tell the disciples. Do you think the disciples got their things right away and packed up and went to Galilee? They didn't believe the women. In fact, they did not leave for Galilee until 8 days later. Isn't that amazing? These guys were really thick-headed. And the Lord had to appear to them over and over again and finally say, look, will you finally go to Galilee? In fact, that's where the 500 appeared, of disciples appeared to Jesus. And he showed himself to them. It was there that he restored Peter. Look at verse 8. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb. They were running. They were afraid. And they trembled. And Mark says, and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They were like a bunch of scared rabbits. And for a while they were afraid, but they finally came to themselves. How do we know that? We have the continuation in the book of Matthew. Go with me there. By the way, that's where Mark really ends his testimony. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 7, we see here that the women are now giving new orders. Beloved, I want you to understand, when you have knowledge, when God is helping you to grow in your wisdom and in your knowledge, it's not for yourself, it's for others. Do you understand that? It's for others. If you know how to study the Bible, if you know the Word, it's not for you to keep for yourself. It's to share with other people. These women discovered that the tomb was empty, that Christ had resurrected from the dead. They were not to keep it to themselves. They needed to share with others. They need to be faithful messengers. And beloved, that's why you as a redeemed, you who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you cannot keep that to yourself. But you must share the good news with others, because there are a lot of hurting people, aren't there? Go back with me here in chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 7. The angel said to the women, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear. And what else? It began to dawn on them. Jesus is alive. And beloved, because Jesus is alive, we are justified. With fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples word. And listen to this. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, what happened? Jesus met them. Can you imagine that? They're going, they're being obedient, and the Lord meets them. And here in the book of Matthew, he says, rejoice. What did they do? And they came and they held them by the feet and they worshiped him. Is Jesus God? You know, if Jesus is not God, he shouldn't receive worship. But Jesus received worship, didn't he? All the way back when he was a little child, we learned that the Magi came and they came into the house where the little boy was and Mary, and they fell down and they worshiped him. The Bible says we're only to worship God. Well, this is right. Jesus is God. They came and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Once again, for the second time, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. But it took a little bit of doing for these disciples to finally get it through their heart and mind that they needed to go to Galilee. Finally, let me just point something out to you, and we'll close with this. back with Mark chapter 16. You know, his disciples, they all abandoned him. When Jesus was in the garden, when they arrested Jesus, they all took off. And as you know, Mark was the one that recorded the words of Peter. And listen to what the angels say to, this is the only place that's recorded in Mark chapter 16. It says here in verse 7, the angel says to the woman, or to the women, go tell his disciples and who else? And Peter. Isn't that interesting? You don't find that in the other Gospels. But you hear the angel saying to the women, go tell his disciples and Peter. Tell them what? That he is going before you into Galilee, that you will see him as he said to you. Why Peter? Because Peter was the one that denied him, didn't he? Peter probably felt so low and he thought, you know, I'm done. I'm no longer a disciple of Jesus. And if Jesus wanted to see the disciples, I don't feel like I'm worthy to be a part of them. But here the angel points out Peter and says, go tell his disciples and Peter too. What does that mean? That means that the Lord was embracing them. All of them. That was very special to Peter. And it was by the Sea of Galilee that the Lord spoke to Peter and said to Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? What did he say to him? Feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. Feed my lambs. And so, beloved, it's the same story that the Lord wants us to always be serving Him. How do we serve Christ today? By serving His people. By serving His people. By serving the redeemed. Very important. And so we learn here that the Lord is even extending this offer and this message not only to His disciples, but even to Peter. Let me just close with this. You know, the women, they love the Lord. And they didn't have to say they love the Lord. You can tell by the way they live their lives. We meet people all the time that say they love the Lord, but it's really what the way they behave is what really tells you the story. Let me just ask you a very personal question. Can you honestly say that you love the Lord? These women sacrificed and they were devoted to Christ and they didn't even think twice of what they were doing as they were going out there and they were going to anoint Him. And it's because they love the Lord. But people that don't know Jesus Christ, they don't love Him. So my next question to you is this. If you die today, are you sure that you'll be with the Lord? Are you saved? That's really important, isn't it? Are you saved? You might say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I die today that I would be with the Lord. Well, I need you to listen very carefully because there's certain things you need to understand. The Bible teaches us that we are all sinners. Isn't that true? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you look at God's commandments, we have broken His commandments. We have all lied. We've all stolen. We've all lusted. We've all done evil things. We've all broken God's commandments. And the Bible teaches us that God is the judge. And every single day He's angry with the wicked. And people will go to hell. They will die in their sin. What about you and I? Have you been forgiven of your sin? Have you been saved? You know, if you remember the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, the Bible talks about this man who was a tax collector in Luke chapter 18. And he knew that he was guilty. Just as each one of us, we need to recognize that we are guilty. And this tax collector went to the temple to pray. You know what he said? He said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You know what that's called? That's the sinner's prayer, friend. That's a sinner. If there's a sinner's prayer, there is a sinner's prayer. I'm not saying for you to repeat after me, but what I'm saying is the scripture gives us, it's filled with sinner's prayers. Remember the thief on the cross? When he was hanging there on the cross, and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And so we see that the Bible is filled with sinner's prayers. Because the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you cried out to the Lord to save you and to forgive you? That's why Jesus came into this world, to save sinners. But God wants us to recognize our sin, that we are sinful. We have broken God's laws. We deserve God's judgment. You do not want God to treat you with justice. You do not want God to treat you fairly. You know why? Because fair means you go to hell. That's what's fair. Because you have sinned against a holy, righteous God. I don't want God to treat me fair. I don't want God to treat me justly. I want God to have mercy on me. I want God to grant me His grace. Because it's only through His grace can I be forgiven. Because I stand guilty before a holy God. Have you recognized that? That you stand guilty before a holy God? And have you cried out to God like that? Like that tax collector, Lord, be merciful to me. The sinner, I have. I ask God to be merciful to me. I ask God to save me. That's the person that will be justified. That's the person that will be saved. That cries out to the Lord. Not the person that's patting himself on the back and says, look, I'm so religious. I read my Bible. I pray. I'm a good person. God, you must be proud of me. Pride and good works is not going to get you to heaven. Only what Jesus has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. He died, He was buried, and He resurrected. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord? Have you confessed Jesus as your Savior and Lord? And do you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead? That's vital. The Bible says, and you shall be saved. Let's all stand for our final prayer. Lord, thank you for our time together. Lord, what a mixed emotions these women had. Emotions of great mourning and sadness. You turned their mourning into dancing, dear Lord. That's what you have done for us, dear Father. You've turned our mourning into dancing, where we were broken, where we were on our way to eternal condemnation, eternal damnation, but you have saved us. And not of anything that we have done, but what you have done. You have opened our heart and you have allowed us to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving us, dear Father. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, I pray if there's one soul here that does not know you, that they would cry out to you and ask that you would save them and forgive them. Lord, we ask that you may bless us now, Father. We thank you again for your word. And now, Lord, that you would bless us and give us a great week. Lord, draw us near to you, we pray. And help us to appreciate your cross, the cross of Calvary and the burial and the resurrection of our Savior. And these things we pray and we beseech you in Jesus' name. Amen.